Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he pinpointed that in Kurukshetra, that at that place, her service necessity from her serving group reaches its greatest intensity. So his thinking was, if I can render some service there at that critical time, then what will come to me will, he's saying, if I can render service at that time, in that plane, then there's no chance of ever coming down to this mundane plane of existence ever again. So, Srila Guru Maharaj, he considered that, in his words, he said, Vrindavan, that's the place for the highest liberated souls. In other words, no one can get admission there. Right? It's inaccessible. But once he said we should have a sign at the mat that says, we should have two signs, which is say, welcome, no admission. Right? So it means to, we're being welcomed to the plane that, where there's no admission. How to enter there? So, Srila Guru Maharaj said, but we've heard that Navadvip is for the non-liberated section. Yata yata gora padara vinde vinde tabakim krita punyarasi tata tato sarpati hridya kazmat radha padamboja sudamburasi. This is verified by Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, where he is saying, the entranceway to Krishna Leela is through the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. So Srila Guru Maharaj very humbly thought, really, it would be appropriate to seek entrance into Navadvip Dham. But that doesn't mean that then he just immediately took up residence here. But rather, he thought perfectly that Nityananda Prabhu is the Dhameshwara of Navadvip Dham. He's the visa-granting officer. So he went to Ekachakra, to the birthplace of Nityananda Prabhu, to place his submission there. And there, he, with full dandavat, he prayed to Nityananda Prabhu that, you are Patita Pavana, please give me shelter at your lotus feet. Up to this time, Srila Guru Maharaj was hesitating to initiate anyone, thinking himself unfit, unqualified, and directing them to others. But at this time, when he was praying to Nityananda Prabhu, some special inspiration came to him. And it was this, that, but you want to take shelter, but you will not, are not giving shelter to the fallen. Who is Patita? You're not giving shelter to them. So if you will give shelter to those who are fallen, then you can take shelter and have your admission into Navadvip Dham. And Srila Guru Maharaj said, then modestly he came here and established Sri Chaitanya Saraswati Math. But where even within Navadvip Dham, the place he selected is most perfect. Because this place is known as the Aparad Bhajanair Pat. Because it means the place where the aparadis are forgiven their offenses. Because Mahaprabhu, sometimes it says, he had to leave Navadvip. He was being abused by people here. Once Guru Maharaj said, Navadvip he rejected and Puri he collected. So sometimes the people of Puri, they said, you know, the Bengalis, they didn't understand Mahaprabhu. But the truth of the matter is, he was abused by people of in Navadvip at a particular point. Because we know that he lived here as Nimai Pandit up to 24 years of age. And some people thought, because of his natural brilliance, that he was an arrogant scholar. Because he could meet anyone, engage in an argument with someone, defeat their argument, then having defeated their argument, take their argument, and then prove that it's true, and in a circular way, demonstrate his genius and brilliance. Right? So much so that Gadadhar Pandit, I told, but in the streets, sometimes like go to the other side of the street to try and avoid him. Of course, Gadadhar Pandit, we're told, is Srimati Radharani's avatar. But this is before he's entered Radha Bhav and he's playing, so some pastimes like that he's having in Navadvipa. So when there was a very important transition in his life that took place after he returned from Varanasi. Right? He came back to Navadvip absorbed in Gopi Bhav, but some very intense Gopi Bhav to the point of abusing Krishna. But sometimes people would lament Gadadhar Pandit and the others, this Nimai Pandit, he's so beautiful, he's so charming, he's so wonderful, if he was only a devotee of Krishna. Actually, he is Krishna, but he's becoming converted into a devotee of Krishna through the association of devotees. So really, when he came back from Varanasi, he was a total, saturated devotee of Krishna. But his students could not understand his new mentality. Because when it was time to teach them lessons, he was saying, there's no need for all this. He was teaching Sanskrit grammar. There's no need for all these things. Pardon me?
That was in Gaya?
Oh, Gaya. Gaya. Right, he's saying Gaya. He came back from Gaya. So he is now wanting to only vibrate the names of the Braja Gopis. And his students started arguing with him. Where is this described in the scriptures? Rather, we should chant the names of Krishna. And he said, Krishna, he's a despicable man. Because he is in the mood of the intense loving anger. And so this sort of conflict with his students caused him to want to punish them. Right? And then he realized just the opposite of what he hoped for was happening. He had wanted to descend into this world to deliver the fallen souls, and now they were offending him. Just like a doctor comes with medicine for a patient, and then the patient's abusing the doctor. How is he going to be cured? So Mahaprabhu decided that if he would become a sannyasi, then because of social custom and etiquette, they would be forced to give show respect to him, then they would overcome their offenses in that way. So he took sannyas, left Navadvipa, and after so many years he returned. And after the parikrama yesterday, did it go to the house of Vidya Vachaspati?
Yes.
It did? Yeah. So when he came back to Navadvipa, at first he went to the house of Vidya Vachaspati. That was one of the last stops on the parikrama. And there, on a rooftop, on a veranda, hundreds of thousands of people came to have his darshan. Srila Guru Maharaj says that when the people would come to a part in the Ganga that couldn't be crossed, they just went in the water, but there were so many people, no one could drown. They just went through the water to the other side. It was also mixed in these people, Dritta Manujakaya, are demigods. They've also descended in human form. They're coming to have a glimpse of Mahaprabhu. And if you can imagine, such a multitude of people, where they're moving, and they're frenzied. They're frantically going to see Mahaprabhu. They're destroying jungles and creating a roadway. And when they got there, so people started climbing trees to have a view of Mahaprabhu, that by mystical arrangement, even a little twig on a tree could support a human being. So there's hundreds of thousands of people there. The trees are all full of devotees, and they're all seeing the beautiful divine form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the veranda of Vidyavachaspati. Sado Patya Sriman Jusamanutai Pranayitam Bahadi Girvanai Girishta Girisha Parameti Pabritivi Svabhaktevyam Sudham Nijabhajanamudram Upadisham Satchaitanya Kame Punar Pridushor Yasyati Padam. Rupa Goswami describes Mahaprabhu along these lines in the Chaitanyasakam. That these gods, they've donned human forms to come and see him. Why? Because he is inconceivably beautiful. And what is the range of gods? From Girisha Shiva to Parameshti Brahma, from the creator to the destroyer and everywhere in between, all the gods have come to have a glimpse of that divine form. And what is his, and what have they come? Just like people come bearing gifts. Pranayitam, Girvanai, they've come bearing the affection that is within their heart. And that Mahaprabhu, Svabhaktevyam Sutam, he is in the midst of his own pure devotees. Nijana Bhaja, Nijana Bhajana Mudram Upadisham, and he's showing what is his own way of worshipping the Lord and what is the way to properly worship him. So, and what is his target? But separation. Union and separation. He's showing this is the proper way to worship Krishna. So the crowds were so huge there that Mahaprabhu managed to disappear and come to this place, which is known as Kulia. And here, all the people who had formerly offended him, they came and got forgiveness for their offenses. So Srila Guru Maharaj very humbly, perfectly selected this place to establish Sri Chaitanya Saraswati. And once, some devotees told him that, yes, but you know what people say? They say that all the offenders, that's who's taking shelter at Sri Chaitanya Saraswati. This is just a bunch of offensive people. In other words, they're saying, we're happy they're going there because our association is so fine. And just a bunch of offenders have left and they're going and taking shelter there. And Srila Guru Maharaj said, yes, that's true. You can say, yes, all the offenders are taking shelter here. And he said, and Mahaprabhu, soon Mahaprabhu will forgive them of all their offenses and give them everything. So we're very happy to get the opportunity to take shelter here. So when Srila Guru Maharaj says, Deva Siddha Mukta Yukta Bhakta Vrinda Banditam, they're all singing the praise of Mahaprabhu. Why? Because Papa Tapa Dava Daha Dagda Dukha Kanditam. That from all the sins that we've accumulated in life, all the pop and so much top suffering from that. How much? Papa tapa dava daha, like a conflagration of, means a giant forest fire. Not just like a few sins stacked up in a little pile, neatly burning, you know, in the corner. That's where I sing all the time. Samsara dava nala nidaloka. So, dugda dukha kanditam. Mahaprabhu, he is putting an end to all the suffering of all the jiva souls. Huh? Krishna Nama Siddhu Dhamma. He is the abode of this nectarine substance in the form of Krishna Nam. He's the Dham of Krishna Nam. Of the nectar of Krishna Nam, he's that Dham. So Krishna Nam, Siddhu Dhamma, Danya Dana Sagaram. This is his gift. Sometimes Guru Maharaj say, golden gift of the golden Lord. Dana Sagar, in the Vedic times, when they had some auspicious occasion, there's a particular type of gift giving called Dana Sagar. It means you give really big gifts, like elephants. Right. But his Dana Sagar, like the, when they're churning the ocean of nectar, so many, auspicious generation from that ocean of nectar. Lakshmi Devi, the elephant of Indra, it's so many things are coming. But what Mahaprabhu is giving is more valuable than all of this. He's giving Krishna Nam, the nectar of Krishna Nam to everyone. And thereby putting an end to all their suffering. So Srila Guru Maharaj came here. We can see, we saw an orange flag flying in the mat, at the top of the mat. Just like whenever you all had to get some visa or something to come here, every country has a flag. Like you go, if you have to come, you go to the Indian embassy and their flag is there. Right? And it represents something, it stands for something. So when Srila Guru Maharaj planted this flag in the soil, Navadvipa, Ganga Tata Navadvipa Kaladi Raje, in this very place, that flag, it has some meaning, it has some representation. It's a declaration, right? And he's condensed the conscious substance, spiritually conscious substance of that representation in his mat sloka. He said, Sri Chaitanya Sara Swatamata Bhara Udgita Kirtir Jaya Sring. He's saying, what is this flag of the Chaitanya Saraswatmat announcing to the world? Udgita means a very loud song, a very loud kirtan. Right? And we don't mean like with loudspeaker. Something loud in the sense of profound, right? And unassailable. In other words, there's no conception that is higher than this. This is the deepest, the highest. Udgita Kirtir Jayasring. This mat is to celebrate the glories of Srimati Radharani. This is Guru Maharaj's Krishna conception. So many of us were involved in the Krishna consciousness movement for many years before taking shelter of Srila Guru Maharaj. And we can say this much, although we are happy about our connection. Before coming in connection with him, Krishna was occupying the primary position and, well, dot, dot, dot. But after we came in connection with him, a transformation took place. All of a sudden, Krishna was in the secondary position. How sacrilegious is that? You placed another god before us? Guru Maharaj sometimes said, that earlier in his life, some predisposition towards Ramachandra, the self-sacrificing tendency that's demonstrated in that Leela. He's saying, but Krishna, he's an enjoyer. So I was not so much attracted to him, to his position. He said, but what captured me was the position of Srimati Radharani and Mahaprabhu. Because here we see self-sacrifice and self-forgetfulness to the infinite degree. So as he told, in the circumambulation of the Brajamangal Parikrama, when the party reached Radhakunda, Saraswati Thakur's group, a young boy who was one of his favorite disciples noticed that this Maharaj of Bharatpur and his family, they were doing those measured dandavats around Radha Kund and Shyama Kund. I mean, saying some prayers, sometimes many prayers, and then offering dandavat, or sometimes many dandavats, then moving one length of the body, repeat one length of the body, repeat one length of the body, in this way, circumambulating. So this boy, Paramananda, was very impressed, and he went back to Saraswati Thakur. Prabhu, these people have so much devotion for Radharani. I'm amazed. And Saraswati Thakur said, yes, but there is a big difference between them and us, between their group and our group. In their conception, Krishna is holding the primary position and Radharani is secondary. So, because she is dear to Krishna, they're worshipping her. But our position is just the opposite. Radharani is holding the primary position and Krishna is in the secondary position. This is a major shift in Krishna consciousness, like a reversal of positions, where she occupies the primary position. And he said, and because we're aspiring for service in her group, in her line, therefore we have some connection with Krishna. So you see here the deities and the central altar, Guru, Gauranga, Gandharva, Govinda Sundar. Krishna is in the center, but really this is exalting the devotion of Srimati Radharani. Udgita Kirtir Jayasri, as indicated in the sloka. Why? Because on one side is Srimati Radharani herself, and on the other side is Krishna converted into a devotee by her association. Swabhaktevyam Sudham Nijabhajanam Mudram Idrasham Upadisham. He's showing what is the highest way to worship him. What is the best way to worship him? It is personified in her. So, Srila Guru Maharaj liked the quote, they were singing in Anant Mandir last night this song of Vasudev Ghosh. It says, Jadi gor na hoita, tabi ki hoita, kemani dari tamde, radhar mahima, prema rasasima, jagata janatoke. If Gauranga had not come down into this world, we would have never known the glories of Srimati Radharani and the limits, the height of divine love. So Srila Guru Maharaj would say, when I think of Radharani, I lose my existence. He said, when Srila Saraswati Thakur was very careful not to make a display of emotions publicly, he said, but when he would sing the sloka of Raghunath Das Goswami, Ashavare Amrita Sindhu Mayuka Tanchit, expressing his heart's inner aspiration for her service, said he would cry uncontrollably. So when he says, Krishna Nama Siddhu, Prema Dhamma Devam Eva Nomi Gauru Sundaram, who is the abode of this sort of divine love? Not Krishna. Right? You know, Krishna is not Krishna conscious. He's not the abode of love for Krishna. Devam Eva, there's only one who can be the abode of the divine love, of such divine love. Right? Srimati Radharani, she is Krishna consciousness personified. Kaviraj Goswami reveals this in the introductory section of Chaitanya Charitamritam, where Krishna, he is astonished by the sort of love that is with, for him, that is in the heart of Srimati Radharani. You think, but being the object of that love, I can't experience it or taste it. He perceives that it is 10 million times greater than what he's experiencing as the Akhilarasamrita Murti. But he can only have some theoretical understanding of what her position is. Kaviraj Goswami mentions there her love is so great that even Krishna cannot estimate its limits. Like sometimes we're told of the exalted Mahabhagwat, but wherever they look, they see Krishna. But there, Kaviraj Goswami says, Devi Krishna Mahi Prokta Radhika Sarvatati Ka, that her love for Krishna is so great, wherever she casts her glance, Krishna must appear. That's a little different than seeing Krishna everywhere. It is as if by her glance, Krishna must manifest there. So, to experience her position, he has to undergo some transformation. So, in another part of Chaitanya Astakam, Rupa Goswami, Kaviraj Goswami, whatever Kaviraj Goswami is telling us, it's a revolutionary conception, Krishna conception of divinity, but he's always referring to Rupa Goswami for verification and reference. Because he's saying so many extraordinary things. And Rupa's telling here, Aparam kasyapi pranayi janavindasya kutuki rasostamam hridva madhuram upaboktam kamapiya rucham swam abhavre dyuti iha tadiyam prakatayam sad deva chaitanyakritir atitaram na kripayatu. He's saying, Rupa Goswami, what does he tell us? That pranayi janavindasya, Krishna sees of, in one place, Chakravarti Thakur says in the Bhagavatam, assembled at the rasa dance are 3 billion gopis. Right? 3 billion divine personalities. Right? They're all extensions and expansions of Srimati Radharani. Right? To accommodate Krishna's desires, his unlimited desires for enjoyment, she's expanding into innumerable forms. And not 3 billion, innumerable. So the Lakshmis of Vaikuntha, the Mahishi, the queens of Dwaraka. Right, we're told there's 16,108, and according to 16 divisions of divine energies, there's 1,000 variations on that theme and form. But when it reaches Vrindavan, they're the most exalted are the Brajagopis. And each one, some slight different variation of on her beauty, charm, personality, sweetness, mood. Right. That personality, we're told, Radha Madaya Hridaye Chakchaja Braja Sundari, that in the midst of 3 billion gopis enjoying rasa, that when Srimati Radharani detected that she was being dealt with as one of the group, she displayed superior singing and dancing and left. Right. So, and Krishna, in the presence of 3 billion inconceivably beautiful gopis, felt the quality of rasa just went down. Scanned the 3 billion, saw one is missing. The devotion, the love of one could cancel 3 billion. So Kaviraj was saying that even Krishna cannot estimate the limits of her love. So when he left, found her back to Radha Kund, at that time one of Saraswati Thakur's disciples said, yes, but we find that after some time that Krishna abandons her. And Saraswati Thakur was furious. He said, why do you say that? Why are you introducing this at this time? There's no devotion to be found there. We're not interested in hearing that. And all the devotees were hushed, silent. So Srila Gurumaharaj said, he's such a 100% servitor of Srimati Radharani, he could not tolerate even the remotest suggestion of her being abused. But Srila Gurumaharaj is a perfect servitor of Srila Saraswati Thakur. He must adjust this in such a way as that her primary position is restored, kept intact. And he got some hymns reading Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Srila Guru Maharaj said, actually, Krishna, from a hidden position in a kunj, he wanted to observe, in separation from him, what sort of heart, behavior, and characteristics she will show. Right? And what the union and separation. Right? Just as what is mentioned in the Charitamrita, where's Mahaprabhu's focal point? When Uddhava came to meet, to deliver the message of Krishna to Radharani and the Braja Gopis, that where her separation reaches the height of divine madness. So what Krishna saw from a hidden position, the sort of love and ecstatic transformation that she was undergoing, he was astonished. So Rupa Goswami says, Pranayi Janavindasya Kutuki Rasostamam Hritva Madhuram Upaboktam Kamapiya. He stole her heart and halo to of one out of that multitude who is the best, Srimati Radharani. He took, in Guru Maharaj's words, he stole. That's why Srila Guru Maharaj has harmonized the position, Kaviraj Goswami's statement about Gadadhar Pandit being like Rukmini, saying that after Krishna's plundered her Bhava, this intense,
emotion.
Okay, you can say that. That what's left, what remains, is Gadadhar Pandit. So, Rucham Swam Ababre means his own radiance with Shamasundar, dark, deep, dark beauty Krishna, is overwhelmed by her heart and halo, and he becomes Gorsundar. Naomi Gaura Sundaram. So prema dham, the abode of that sort of divine love, and Gaurasundar, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Srimati Radharani. Hare Krishna. Any questions from anyone? Yeah. What was that?
You heard that Radha Krishna never got married.
What's the question?
Why did you legalize the relationship?
I'll tell you something. When I was a child, I lived near some farms, and in our house, in the kitchen, on the table was always a bowl of fruit. Apples, bananas, this, that, the other thing. But my friends and I, we like to go out into the woods near these farms. And there were these fences with barbed wire and warning signs. And it used to say, no trespassing. Say, $250 fine. And this was the northernmost part of the south and the southernmost part of the north, and they said, you can also be shot. These farmers were famous, they had rifles with something called buckshot. And there were stories of people who'd gone over that fence and stole those apples and got buckshot by farmers. So our excitement was to climb over that fence and the barbed wire and enter those trees, steal those fruits, and then climb over the fence again, and then in a hidden place with our hearts pounding and hyperventilating to eat those apples. Now, we have apples at home. So it's not just the apple experience that we are searching for. But the forbidden element makes all the difference. Like, there's, and so when we're eating those apples and you're with your friends, you're going, we're saying, oh, these taste so good. These are unbelievable. So, apples at home, forbidden fruits. So, this is all, we use the word lila, which means play. Krishna wants to play in particular ways. What do you give the man who owns everything? Parakiya rasa. There is nothing that is not his. In the Bhagavatam, and this is the intensity of Krishna consumption. Because after Narada, here's what Vyasa's idea is for publishing. He's just saying, like, this isn't going to do it. He's saying, only Krishna conception is capable of totally cutting all the knots that are binding the heart and keeping people bound in this world. You've got to go for Krishna conception in its fullest, in its deepest. And this is ironic, because he's saying, what you've given up to this point, which is, for lack of a better word, religion, and he says, jukupsitam dharma, this is like disgusting. So, jugupsitam being the operative word here. Condemnable, disgusting, etc. So later, in the 10th canto, after Sukadeva has just spoken the Rasa Lila of Krishna, Parikshit Maharaj looks out in the group and sees that all these rishis, these great saints who come from all over the universe, their mouths are like, because Guru Maharaj said that, they said, it's one thing, you know, to gather us all here today and reveal to us that the supreme entity is a man. But now you're telling us, as if that wasn't enough, now you're telling us he's an immoral man. So Srila Guru Maharaj said, what will you do when you find out that the man at the top is a crook? Are you sure you're ready for this? So Parikshit Maharaj says, seeing everyone disbelieve, that in the beginning you told us that Krishna appears to establish religious principles, and what we just heard here seems to some people to be a, he uses the word jugupsitam, a transgression of, that he's engaged in some sort of despicable, contemptuous behavior. But would you care to adjust that? So now, let me get this right. In the beginning of the book, what was described as religion, that's been like rejected and thrown in the trash. And now we are to embrace this conception. And Sukadev Goswami says some very interesting things in response to that. One of which is, he says, look, Krishna, the gopis and their husbands, they all belong to Krishna. Not just the gopis, their husbands, their parents, their children, everyone, everything belongs to Krishna. He's also situated in the heart of all of them. So where's the proprietary violation here? Where's the trespassing? Right. I remember being in Calcutta here many years ago, and some man came up to me, and you can usually tell who Indian Christians are, because they introduced them. You know, he came and said, hello, my name is John Matthew. So right, I could understand something about who I'm dealing with here. And we started having a discussion. And we're going back and forth. He's asking different questions. I'm answering them. And then at one point, we got to the heart of the matter. And he said with some resentment, he said, what I want to know is, why is Lord Krishna dancing with other men's wives? I said, aha, now we've got to, I knew we would get there sooner or later. And this is, you know, Calcutta of 1974 or so. So there's, by now, there's around 1,000 people listening to the discussion. Hare Krishna. That's the Esplanade. So I just said to him, I said, why have you taken one of Krishna's for your own? You're the trespasser. Actually, just the opposite is true. Everyone and everything belongs to Krishna, including ourselves. Right? When the other day Srila Gurudev was mentioning that this incident where someone, a man in good standing, Vaishnava, culturing devotee, it was brought to the ear of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj that he was going to marry. And everyone was wondering, what's Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj going to say? Because he's very unpredictable in what he might say at any given point in time. And Babaji Maharaj, true to form, said something very unexpected. He said, tell him that he should dress his wife as a gopi, decorate her as a gopi, and think of her as a gopi. In this way, any enjoying spirit or enjoying tendency will be checked. He'll always be remembering, she is meant for Krishna's enjoyment. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarvalokam. Krishna's meant to enjoy each and every one of us. Right? We're part of the potency. Atomic particles of Chit Shakti, of Radharani's halo. We're all being recruited to increase Krishna's enjoyment. Right? That's what Atmindriya, Preeti Dari, Dari Icha Bolikam, Krishnendriya Preeti Icha Dari Premanam. Kaviraj Goswami says, lust and love, they look almost identical, but they're diametrically different. Lust is what we contemplate for our own enjoyment. But what is celebrated as prem, and the gopi's so-called lust is celebrated as prem, is for Krishna's enjoyment. So we're told, they decorate themselves for his pleasure, they keep themselves looking beautiful for his enjoyment. So, Parakiya Rasa has been devised by Yogamaya to enhance Krishna's enjoyment. But for Krishna, everything is possible. So, for example, in the Garga Sangita, there's some section there which speaks of the marriage of Radha and Krishna. Right? This is allowed from certain points of view. But we're told for maximum pleasure enhancement that Parakiya Rasa reigns supreme. Right? Look at Krishna. When we were in Govardhan one year with Srila Gurudev, what I thought was very nice is Krishna's appearance in Govardhan is still front page news. So we were there for Janmasthami. And Gurudev's, you know, flexing, reading the paper. And there are some headlines and different stories there. And there's a picture in the corner of Krishna. And it's one of those pictures we've all seen. Krishna's there stealing butter, yogurt, and eating that. And Gurudev reading the paper, he looked out of the corner and saw that and he said, if he's like that, then what to speak of us? Turn the page. Mame Vamsa Jiva Loke, Jiva Buddha Dana. If we've gone wrong, who else do we have to blame? Jai Supatikar Sri Sri Guru Gauranga Gandharva Govinda Sundar Ju Ki Jai Jai Om Vishnu Pachala Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai Jai Om Vishnu Pachala Bhakti Rakak Shri Radev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai.